Sunday, Tesvav Tammuz, Rev Elchanan Moshe Lieberman, in the Inyan of Shalom.
A few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend on a Friday night in the street where I live, and the young fellow, dark coloured, stopped and walked. We were stopped schmoozing, and he came over to us and said, "Would you gentlemen mind if I ask you a question?" "Of course, no problem." Says, "Can't the Palestinians and the Jews just sit down and sort it out?" He was like full of passion and he's really concerned. "Can't they just sit down and speak? What's all the conflict and the war and the bloodshed?" It was amazing to see I think he was 17, and he was really concerned about this problem. So I said to him, "That's a $1 million question. You know, that's, you're talking about one of the biggest questions. How are you going to sort out the conflict between the Palestinians and the Jews?" The person I was with said to him, "Listen, if you began to understand anything about the religions, if you know anything about Jewish religion, about, if you're a Muslim, very little idea." He says, "If you've learned about religions and you study the history, then we can start sitting down to think about trying to understand why it's so difficult for the Palestinians and the Jews to get together." But what struck me was the genuine concern for peace. There's hundreds and thousands and probably millions of people going around the world worried about peace. It's a very big subject. I've been told about a recent video clip that I haven't seen myself. But apparently there's an Israeli fellow standing there and he's got a placard saying "for peace." And he's saying the words, "Lo nazuz mipo ad sheyeh shalom." We're not going to move from here until there's peace. He's standing there and there he is, and you see him. He says again after a couple of minutes, "Lo nazuz mipo ad sheyeh shalom." We're not going to move from here until there's peace. And clips finishes off with a guy coming along with his bicycle. He walks over to the man. He locks his bike around him. He says, "You're going to be here for some time, so I'll use you as a post." It's one of those, it's such a major concern for the world, but it's also so difficult. I'd like to speak a bit this morning, a little bit about Shalom, but more from the Torah perspective. And we'll see that Shalom is not just about avoiding conflict, it's actually much deeper than that. And there's much more to the picture. Start with this. This week's Sedra. Ma'idabah Shalom B'Shalem, Pinchas Ben Allah Zman Anakon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Heshev Escha Amos Me'avnei Yisrael. He's removed a tremendous anger. At the time of the last week's Seder, we spoke about where Zimri was doing an aveira publicly. It was a tremendous desecration of Hashem's name. It was a disgrace. And nobody did anything. Everyone's crying and mouths agape, wondering what to do. And Pinchas gets up in an act of tremendous zealousness. He runs over with a spear and he kills them. And Hashem's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, he removed the anger from the Bnei Yisrael. I had tremendous anger, and somebody explained this very beautifully. Imagine your father or your mother or someone you're very close to sitting up in the front, perhaps in the chasana or some other forum, and somebody comes in and starts heaping, you know, disgrace and hitting them and slapping them. You know, you run over, you don't think twice about how to be nice about it. You go in, you put the chair on his head just to stop him. And Pinchas took that courage to get on the job. There's a tremendous Chil Hashem going on over here. And he ran in, and with zealousness, he jumped into the fort. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, L'chein emre hinin yinesin le'es brisi shalom, v'hoysa lo'y lezari achra bris kehunas olam. So you got shalom and kehuna. We'll see later on, they're probably connected. But you got a brisi shalom, the covenant of peace, and kehuna became a kohen. Pashas, according to most Farshim, he became a kohen at that point. Pinchas became, he joined the family of kohenim. As one kohen said to me, "I'm not sure if I come from Pinchas or I come from Aaron." It was two different starting points of kohuna. And Reb Chaim Brisk asks a very interesting question on this. He says, we know that the Torah has a rule of midah. Hashem works in midah keneged midah. Everything's measure for measure. If you see someone getting reward, we may reward a general, a Nobel Prize for somebody who's clever, somebody who's invented something, all different things. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards midah keneged midah. The same goes for punishment, midah keneged midah. You can always see a connection between the reward and the action done, or the punishment and the action done. So says Reb Chaim, of all things in the world, the one thing Pinchas doesn't deserve is shalom. You know, it's very kanoi. He should get some sort of, maybe should open up a new branch of kanoth. Shalom wasn't the point. He came there, surely it was an act of violence, and although it was necessary in the Kriyat Shema, no question about it, but it doesn't seem right that shalom is the right reward. Says Reb Chaim Brisker, the way he answered like a Brisker kasha, it's not a question, it's the beginning of the answer. Must be, we know that Kriyat Shema does midah k'negen midah, must be that this act of Pinchas was a maaser of shalom. It was bringing peace to the world. And if you look at the pasuk, it's very clear. Heshev es chamasim avnei Yisrael, there's tremendous anger. And Pinchas reconciles between Klai and Hashem. So the act of violence was actually a maaser of shalom. He brought shalom, and therefore he deserves to get shalom. So we see that the first thing is clear from here. If we're going to go with niceties and harmony and just being everything peaceful, we're not going to have a clear definition of what shalom is. Shalom is about doing what Ratzon Hashem is, perhaps. What is shalom? What is it? It can't just be simply harmony, because sometimes the act of violence can actually be an act of what's called shalom, bringing together. So I'd like to try and explain that with the Rambam. From Hilchos Chanukah, the last Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah, very interesting Rambam, and this gives us a clue about what Shalom is about. The Rambam says, "Hoy lefal of ner beisay v'ner Chanukah." A person had in front of him ner beisay, a choice of either the Friday night candle or ner Chanukah. He's only got enough to light one or light two, whatever it is. So the halacha is, or similar case in ner beisay b'kiddush hayoyim, or he's only got enough to either buy kiddush wine for kiddush or to light candles. Ner beisay kodem mishum shalom beisay. We know the Gemara says the reason why we light Friday night is because of shalom bayis. The simplest track Rashi says, because if it's dark, then a couple will stumble over each other and get angry. And therefore, shalom bayis, obviously nowadays, we've got electricity. In fact, some place can say that you should put on electric light to make sure there's shalom bayis. It's halachic questions about this. But it's not like Gemara. The Gemara says you have a machlekes. You've got a shaila between ner beisay, Friday night candles, or Hanukkah light, or Kiddush. Ner beisay is more important because shalom beisay. And the Rambam brings a raya, shari Hashem nimchak lasi shalom ben ishle ishta. You know, the Rambam says, we see by Sota that we are prepared to rub out the name of Hashem in order to bring shalom by Sota. She's accused, and we take a parchment, put Hashem's name on it, and we rub it out, and she drinks the water in order to bring shalom. Godel ha-shalom shekol ha-ter nitnon lasi shalom. Shalom is so great that the whole Torah was only given for shalom. But elam shnema darachel da'achinem v'chon nesivei seyah shalom. All the ways of Torah, chon nesivei seyah, all the steps of Torah offer shalom. The Rambam is telling us shalom is the ultimate goal, and therefore everything gets put aside. Chanukah is, the Rambam just said previously, mitzvah chaviva et ma'od, it's a beautiful mitzvah, but nevertheless, near basis. Shalom bayis candle overrides everything. And the proof is from Sota. So a younger man once said, chatting this Rambam, who was learning with his chassan Rebbe, he said, probably chatting the Rambam, he was talking about a couple who have unfortunately had a very rough time together. You know, it's really, everything's a make or break of here. And she's saying, my candles, he's saying, Ner Chanukah. So the Rambam says, you've got to use the Seichel, God el HaShalom. You know, it's Shalom Bayis comes first. So this Chassan Rebbe, he's a big time Chachan, Rebbe Shachatovitz, he took the younger man into Rebbe Yashiv. And they spoke, and obviously there was a point to be learned of here. And he asked Rebbe Yashiv, how do you learn from this Rambam? Rebbe Yashiv said, this Rambam is talking about the following case. You have a couple, been married for over 50 years. Shalom Bayis, perfect. They get on beautifully, and they went away on the Shabbos Chanukah. They went away, and for whatever reason they forgot, they left some behind, and they end up, they only got one candle. And she says to him, my dear husband, I prefer you light Chanukah, you light the Chanukah nights, you need it, for you it's better, it's a mitzvah, you do it, I'll make sure, even if it's dark, it won't fight with you, I'll make every effort. And the Rambam turns around and says, no, even In that case, the Rambam says, Beisei is more important, because Shalom Bayis is so important. The slightest possibility of effect of Shalom Bayis, it's more important than any Chanukah mitzvah, even she's masking and everything. That's what Yashas of Shatn is. And we're learning over here that the concept of Shalom is so important, so integral, so central to Torah, that it overrides everything. The truth is, you see this in interpersonal relationships between people. A similar idea, somebody pointed out, that if you have hatred for someone, you've got to speak it out. So a similar question. What happens if somebody, you meet someone by a chasana, you're never going to see him again, but you know he upset you. So why bother open up a can of worms? Why go phone him up and say, you know, you hurt me and let's try to reconcile? Leave him, forget about it. The Torah says, you shouldn't remain with any vestige of hate in your heart for another youth. But phone him up, make an effort to reconcile, somehow make it better. The Torah is very makbidom, not just not coinciding together, but much more than that, making an active shalom, being together, being connected. And the question is, why is shalom so central? That's what I'd like to see. So the first point in the answer, which I heard from Shachar Tovich, this Rebbe Tak, who took this young man to the Rebbe Yashiv, he explained it as follows. Number one, we need to know that sometimes you can have high and low, you can have things which are high madriga and a low madriga. But then there's another question of tachlis and means and end. So, mechikas shem Hashem, rubbing out Hashem's name, there's no question about it, Hashem's name is very kaddish. That's a much higher madriga than perhaps just a bit of peace between two people. But if you look at tachlis, if you look at where the world's going to, then shalom is the ultimate. Again, we're seeing the same thing, the ultimate of the world is shalom, and therefore, you have to give up. In other words, you have to give up on something maybe higher, you have to rub out Hashem's name to get to shalom. One more point about Shalom before we attempt to show the answer to Hashem. Right at the beginning of the Sedra, the Medrash talks about the Shalom that Pinchas received. The Medrash, we don't want to go through the whole Medrash. The Medrash brings over here how Shalom is found everywhere. The end of davening is Shalom. The only way, the post box to get bracha is to shalom. The Torah is shalom. It brings a whole list of things, how shalom is the central form. So Rabbi Shachar Tovich from Tisrol, he's a Talmud of Shnei Kotler, he explained the concept of shalom. Let's go back to the basics of the world. Adon Olam, Shamalach, B'terem Kol Yitzir Nivrach. Rish Baruch Hu started off as Echad. He wanted to create a reality that we should be able to earn tzchah, etc. So he made a world of fragmented world. You look in this world, you don't see Hashem, you don't see Echad, you see lots and lots of different powers this way, that way. There's so many different things, all of them opposites, and it's very difficult to look at this world and really see Hashem in it. The Christians came out with the early Christians came out with the idea basically of Beis Ushuis, that is two deities. There's Gehenna and then there's Gan Eden. Yeah, it's either heaven or the other, right? There's no two. It's either you're a nun and or priest, not eating, not getting married, staying away, or you're just living whatever you're doing. It's either ra and toiv. Because the world is so full of conflicts. Is food good? Is it good to eat? Well, it's negative. It can be very gluttonous. It can be pull you right down. On the hand, very important. The Goyim had a difficulty in combining the world's a place of opposites. And therefore, the Torah comes along, the Sefer Yosha, the Torah was given to us to bring the balance between all the opposites in the world. An example, which maybe perhaps an example which my Rebbe said, you have Gaiva. Is it good to be Gaiva? No question about it. Everyone can understand to be high and, you know, big, ballooned up is no good. So what's the opposite? Shiftless. Oh, I'm nothing. Shmati. Walk around the tatters. Also not good. Says the Torah, another humility in between. Not too high, man. Appreciate who you are, but understand it's from Hashem. The Torah is always coming and showing us the balance between opposites. It's like the going. That's what we say. We say, yes, get married, eat, live a life in this world, but do it correctly. He said over a amazing story that happened in Eretz Hameach. There was a German philosopher. He was a young man, an older man. He'd been studying for years, 15, 20 years, been studying philosophy, and somehow he came to Eretz Hameach. I don't remember if he was Jewish or not. Whatever the story was, he wanted to debate, he wanted to hear what's the Jewish philosophy of life. And this from Moshe Shachar Tovich, my Rebbe was, for some reason, he was the one who was chosen to sit down with this fellow and discuss what's the Torah philosophy of life. He said an amazing thing. He sat down with this goy, or yid, whoever it was, And the guy started. He studied many, many different systems of thought. He said one philosophy. And my Rebbe said, that's correct. The Torah agrees to that. Oh, yeah? Yes. But the question is how much, when, and where? To what extent? Every idea was 100% true. He said almost every philosophy he said was true. But what happened is the philosopher had made a shitter of life. This is how you have to live by this axiom, this. And he says, no, yes, we agree to that, but when and where? Our sadra, zealousness. You've got to be zealous. Of course you've got to be zealous sometimes. But then you've got to be peaceful. It depends where, it depends when. The Torah comes and shows balance. It brings balance in to different opposites. And it's amazing. He sat there and basically, I don't know what happened afterwards, whether it became about Tribur or Goy, or became a Yid. But Lamaisa, the concept was amazingly clear. That yes, we hold the most philosophies, the question is just when and how and what the balance is. The same is with people. Every person is an Olam Molek. Shem Shepard Sefeim Einam Domen, just like our faces are not the same. Kach Deh Seim and Shonas. Everyone thinks differently. By definition, every person in the world is at odds with another. I see the world my way. I'm meant to coincide. The only way we coincide, we have the Torah says, but there's a bigger goal which binds us together. Your koichas are good for this area, my koichas for that area. Together we're serving Hashem. The whole concept of Shalom is really Achdus, bringing Hashem into the bridge, showing that Hashem is one. There's a medrash which says, "Akol yotzame echad." Everything went out of echad. The choizel echad comes back to echad. What does that mean? Because Baruch Hu was one. He created a world, fragmented world with opposition and thousands of different koichas, all different rights and wrongs and good and bad. And the Torah is coming together to bring it all together and find the balance. And the job of Mitzvah Hashem will be for us to show the world. Or Hashem will show the world. Or Hay Hashem levelecha kol haaretz. One day, everyone will see that what we know that there's one unifying factor in the Bria, everyone in the world will see that. Why Hashem Echad, Shema Echad, Kadosh Baruch is one, and the whole world will together be able to see the oneness of Hashem. And that's what Mashiach will be, and that's really where we're going. So therefore, I think we're beginning to see, hopefully if I've made myself clear, we're beginning to see that Shalom is another word for Achdus. Where there's fragment, where there's different components opposing, Shalom has the care to bring them together. Now, it's very interesting that Shmuel Pinkus once said, you know, it's been recently in the news, the whole concept of women in davening. It's been a big issue. And the truth is, we say to the women, keep out, right? You can't be in the shul. There's no way that men are going to be able to daven with the women there. It doesn't work. And therefore, we've got a problem. So what do we do to bring them in? So we actually make a mechitza. The mechitza actually allows them to come in. You have a shul over here, it's a good example. You bring mechitza in the shul, mechitza allows you to connect. So you put the ladies can come into shul by having a mechitza. Because when you have two things which can't coincide, so then you have a mechitza. The mechitza actually allows it to connect. An example of this is the famous book, The River, the Cattle, the Bird. It talks about different levels of Shalom Bayis. It talks about the cattle. The cattle is taking Eish, which is fire, and Mayim, which is water. And you combine them together with the kettle, with the pot. The pot has the ability to take two things which are completely opposite, combine them together to make hot water. So the concept of combining, sometimes the mechitza can combine. Shem Shepinkas says a similar idea was by Matan Torah. How could Hashem come? Why was there, I think he asked the question as follows, why was there such a grey, dark sky during Matan Torah? Was that necessary? A foreboding feeling, a black, dark feeling. He says you have to understand that the clouds or what allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come down to the world. There's such a powerful revelation of Hashem. It's not Shaykh, it's Eish. It's not Shaykh to have Hashem in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashre Shechina on the mountain. There was a Mechitza. The Mechitza actually allows you to come closer. That's his concept. That's electricity. You can pick up an electric wire. It's got fire inside. You can hold it because you have a Mechitza. In this world, the way you bring two things together is by Mechitza. You have to actually make a Mechitza to bring two things together. Kadosh Baruch Hu's got a keach, which is to bring things together through Shalom, that they actually can coincide as one thing. You know that Shomayim is made out of Eish and Mayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu takes the fire and water, which are completely opposite, and he makes a Shomayim. Oise Shalom b'imroimov, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes Shalom in the heavens. What does that mean? The Pashto Pshat means it means he created a Shomayim, a heaven made up of Eish and Mayim. So he took two things which were opposite. He doesn't need the mechitza, he can actually combine them together. The koach of Torah can actually bring two things which are separate and make them one. That's why Shalom Bayis, the Ish for Isha, are two separate, each one's got their own koach, but you can come, they can become one, they can be embodied in a child. Because that's what Shalom in this world, our levels of Shalom, which Torah can give us the ability to connect two things, even without mechitza. So Hashemayim, Shemayim Hashem. The Shemayim is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with the Shalom Shemayim. But Ha'aretz, not San Levin Adam, but the land, the earth, is for us to deal with. And therefore we're busy. Every mitzvah is really making more oneness than Hashem. And I have a rotz, and I wake up in the morning, I say, should I get up, should I not get up? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, get up. I say, I don't want to get up. So there's really, Achdus is, if I get up, then I'm saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, your will is the only true will. So you're actually bringing oneness in the world. The same is with relationships. Shalom is seeing each yid, see each other as parts of the big picture, and we combine together to serve Hashem. So that's the meaning of Shalom. We can understand now that it's worth rubbing out Hashem's name to get to Shalom, because Shalom is the ultimate, the tachlis. The tachlis of everything is to be one, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, to take the fragments, take the opposite koichos of force and bring them together. That's what Shalom is. So let's go back to Pinchas. So Pinchas came along and he saw a matzah, there was a matzah of chema, there was anger between Hashem and Klal Yisrael, and he gets up and he takes a reimach, and he makes an act of violence, but that's the act which is going to bring together Klal Yisrael back to Hashem. And therefore he gets the bracha, the reward of Shalom. What else does he get? He gets kahuna. Why kahuna? What does the kohenim do? The kohenim bring kabonis. Kabonis is the same idea. The Chazal say one of the ideas of kabonis, though we find it difficult to understand kabonis fully, but one of the aspects of kabonis is pius, appeasement between us and Hashem. Klal, you do an aveira, you bring a carb, you bring a present. That's one of the ways you make up with someone, you bring a present. And therefore, Shalom and Kohen are actually the same idea. He becomes a Kohen who's going to bring Shalom. Finish off with Aaron HaKohen. Mishnah says, should be mitamidah shal Aaron HaKohen. Oyev Shalom v'roidev Shalom. Aaron HaKohen was running after peace. Running after peace because this was like the ultimate goal. And like we see now, it's not like a side issue. One of the things in Yiddish is Shalom. Shalom is mamish atachis in its own. To have people together with Shalom is mamish a gilui kvoda, is revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And therefore, Aaron HaKohen was busy with Shalom his whole life. I finished off with one beautiful vart I heard recently about. We learned about Aaron HaKohen was nifter. We went up the mountain, and Moshe Rabbeinu went up with Elazar. And Elazar was going to become the new Kohen Gadol. It's a very interesting medrash over there. Medrash says that as Aaron HaKohen took his big day kohuna off, they went straight onto Elazar without any gap. It's an interesting medrash. I don't know how it happened physically. I don't know if it's shaykh, it's like a nest. But the clothes were taken off Aaron HaKohen and they were put onto Elazar almost immediately, like no break, like a nest. Somehow as he took it off, it went onto Elazar. It's not clear, it must be a nest. I think far should discuss it. I heard a very interesting idea of why this was so. Why was it necessary for the clothes of Aaron HaKohen to come off him and go straight onto Elazar, his son? So if you make a cheshbon, there's a medrash says that there was Aaron's levaya. It says in the Torah, everyone was crying. They cried for 30 days. Everyone was crying when Aaron was nifta. And it says in the medrash that there was 80,000 boys going after the orin of Aaron HaKohen. All children who were born from the Shalom Bayis, which Aaron HaKohen got back together to couples, they had a son in result of that, and because of that they were born and they were called Aaron. 80,000 children were called Aaron after Aaron, even though he was alive, they called him Aaron because of in expression of thank you to Aaron HaKohen for bringing the Shalom Bayis back to the parents. So something made a little cheshbon. I don't know if this is correct, but let's assume possibly. We know the Aaron HaKohen system of working out. How did he work in Shalom? He first went to one side and said, you know, the other side wants to make up with you, they feel really bad. Then he went to the other side, the whole shmooze, the same shmooze again, and each one said, what, really, the other one wants to make up with me? And then he was sitting down together, look, you both really care about each other so deeply, and he would bang, get everything back together. So how long did that take to do? An hour for the woman, an hour for the man, right? And then another hour perhaps when they sat down together. Let's say 3 hours a couple, times 80,000. And probably there was another 80,000 of girls, right? There's pretty much 50% girls and boys. So there were 80,000 Aaron HaKohens, little boys named after Aaron. Perhaps there were 80,000 girls, or a similar number. So that's double the amount. You work out in hours, we're talking about nearly 60 years of time, just 24 hours a day. Okay, he lived for 123, right? So you work out now, when he became a king, you have to know that a huge amount of his day was used on making Shalom Bayis and running after people. And this was besides for all the business partners arguing and all the other Shalom he was dealing with. It wasn't just after Shalom Bayis, it was between people. He was busy with Shalom to the extent that it probably wasn't in the Beis Hamikdash very much. It was in and out. Beis Hamikdash, you must be running back around the camp, finding people speaking. The tremendously busy occupation Aaron had of balancing Reis of Shalom on the one hand and being in Kohen Gadol. So the concept is Aaron HaKohen, he didn't just do Shalom, he lived Shalom, he was busy with it. Elazar had to hear that being a Kohen Gadol is like it's a job which is going to be consistent. Your whole life is given over. You take the clothes off Aaron HaKohen, straight onto Elazar. There can be no break. There's got to be continuation of Kohen Gadol working. And according to what we understand, it's mamash what it is. The Kohenim would then be Shemitash in the most place of the world. The Chazal call it the place where the Shemaim and the Oretz joined. That's what Shalom's about. Joining, finding Hashem, one in the world. That's mamash what Shalom is. And therefore Pinchas was the one who he didn't act as Shalom, and he got the bracha both of Shalom and both in Kuna. Shbrocha should help us, we should be able to be ready to Shalom.